This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Argentina. The wit about Argentina from Europe is that if you come back after 2 days away, everything's changed. If you come back after 20 years away, nothing's changed. Of course, this joke is at the expense of the people of Argentina, because one more time, the IMF has moved after promises were made to replenish credit in Argentina, to restructure formally a $44.5 billion debt from a 2018 bailout. This is President Fernandez's successful negotiation. But, Professor, Argentina, the joke is that it doesn't learn. But it is also true that the IMF doesn't learn. Is there a structural problem that can be addressed, that the IMF sees can be addressed in Argentina, so that it isn't, again, a deadbeat in 2 years' time?
Well, it's a great question, John. And the IMF under Kristalina Georgieva really had a lot to lose with Argentina. It found itself in a very difficult position. Essentially, what had happened, of course, as you alluded to, a long history of defaults. What was going to happen this week would have been the ninth default that Argentina would have had. There have been a total of, I believe, 21 different debt restructurings through the IMF since Argentina joined the IMF in 1956. But what had happened in 2015, when center-right President Mauricio Macri came into power, is really tried to re-engage Argentina with the IMF, with the international financial community, basically settle past debts that had been defaulted on by the Peronists. And in the process, the IMF really tried to go out and in a big way, throw Argentina a life raft. It was a $57 billion bailout, of which Argentina, as you pointed out, received about $44 billion. Unfortunately, the Argentine government, there was a currency crisis. Money was hemorrhaging. A lot of that money basically left the country through capital flight. And so when the new government, the Peronists, came back into power, they found Argentina saddled with a huge new debt that they were having difficulty paying by their, you know, that had been incurred in their minds by their political opponent. And so they engage in a very difficult series of negotiations. There were actually two negotiations. One was actually with private sector debt, the non-IMF debt. So in 2020, they basically were able to convince the private sector to write down well over $50 billion in that debt. In addition to that, however, there is still this question of the outstanding IMF loan. And so the issue was that if Argentina defaulted on that loan, and literally this week, it was up for about $1.1 billion worth of payments that it didn't have the money for. This year, it had to pay about $19 billion that the money just wasn't even in the reserve to pay for. And so it was kind of a game of chicken. If the IMF let Argentina default, then there would be a major problems rippling throughout the region, and also egg on the face of the IMF for having given Argentina that much money in the first place. But so at the end of the day, everyone kind of closed their eyes and squinted. The IMF agreed to terms that are probably not going to be fulfilled by Argentina. Argentina basically said, we're not going to change fiscal policy. We're not going to change subsidies on state sectors. We're not going to deal with a distorted currency. We're eventually going to bring deficits down. And we've got 4.5 years to repay this new restructuring. And so in many ways, it kicks the can down the road. It's a deal that most people that look at it, believe is just postponing the trouble that would have come this week, rather than, actually, fixing that debt issue. But at least it gets Argentina past the period of the next election.
Two different inquiries. One, commodity prices are rising, and that is generally understood as good for a natural resource rich country such as Argentina and its neighbor Chile. However, we discussed recently how there looks to be a divergence in Latin America, and a large, alarming divergence between commodity prices rising and the struggles of the economies of those natural resources. Argentina is one. The second issue is that the central banks around the world look to be moving in one direction, which is to raise rates because of inflation. That would appear to be very damaging, very difficult for Argentina. So let's deal with them one at a time. Does the Fernandez government have an answer to the fact that commodity prices are increasing, but that it continues to struggle and its GDP is not growing?
Well, the relationship between commodity prices with a commodity export oriented economy and the economy only works if investors believe that you have responsible policies. And so, you know, with Argentina right now, like with Chile, with the Boric administration coming in that we talked about last week, the market just don't have the confidence that, you know, commodity prices can bail out Argentina, whether it's soy or other things. And so, investors are just very lukewarm about Argentina right now, especially in the context of this kind of shaky bailout.
And then we come to the central bankers. I read from the report from Europe, as central banks around the world raise interest rates to tame inflation, financial conditions look even ever less forgiving, and the Argentine government has continued to run hefty budget deficits, which it funds by printing money. In 2021, the central bank printed the equivalent of 4% of the GDP. That is opposite what's going on in North America and about to go on in Europe. So the puzzle here, are we back to saying Argentina learns nothing, that its failures of the past will be its failures of the future? And even Professor, does Argentina believe that it is such a gem that it's given permission for these contradictory policies?
This is something that back in the era of Jimmy Carter in the United States, we used to call stagflation. And in fairness, this is something that virtually the entire region is facing right now. It's something that ECLAC, for example, has spoken out about, the Economic Commission on Latin America and the Caribbean of the United Nations. The problem is that you have not only inflation in the United States, but commodity price inflation in many other places. And as the U.S. May be forced to raise its own interest rates, that sucks money out of riskier economies towards more developed, stable economies. And so in Latin America, and especially Argentina, you have the worst of everything. So Argentina, as you pointed out, has just been printing money, which is a bad lesson of many Latin American governments of the past. And that's why Argentina has 50% inflation. But in addition to 50% inflation, U.S. interest rate hikes and other regional interest rate hikes will force Argentina to also either, raise money or have farther depreciation of its currency. And so the bottom line is that Argentina is facing a prospect of severe inflation continuing because they don't have a near-term solution for stopping to print money for deficit spending. There was no commitment of that in the IMF package. On top of that, they're going to see interest rates rise as it becomes more and more difficult to get capital, even with this IMF package. And on top of that, they are, facing some, a very shaky business environment that is going to make employment and other things soft. So it's a difficult outlook for Argentina. One of the few bright spots is the aid and certain investment projects that they're getting from China right now.
The region, Chile to the west and Brazil to the north and east, does Argentina influence those economies? In other words, if it's bad in Argentina, does that spill over the border and drain or drag the development that Boric hopes for in Santiago and that Lula da Silva could wish for in Brazil?
Well, there isn't a relationship. Argentina is particularly tied to the economies of Brazil and Uruguay and Paraguay through the common market that's called Mercosur. Chile, less so, but there also is a strong trade relationship there. Historically, the integration of Latin American economies has been somewhat weaker than we might expect when we look at a place called Europe. And that, to a degree, is a saving grace. And yet, repeatedly, what happens in Argentina through the flows of money from central banks and other things does affect other parts. And financially, for example, in tiny neighboring Uruguay, there used to be a very perverse relationship that will probably continue, which is that when things got bad with currency and capital flight in Argentina, the Argentines would take all of their money that they couldn't send out to the United States and move it over to Uruguay. So I suspect we'll see those types of relationships. And yet, if you look at the problems in Chile and investor also nervousness in Brazil with the elections in October that we talked about, right now, there is no good safe harbor in South America. Not all is lost, but there's not a lot of safe places to move your money right now.
Final thought, Mr. Fernandez didn't do well in an election that was held at the end of 2021. His party didn't do well, the Peronistas, and they responded with some alarm. Is there a reason to believe there'll be pressure on Fernandez at the polls in the future because of the misconduct of the finances. That would be one way to correct the abuses. I note that Macri, who was preceding Fernandez, did some reforming, but it was eventually squeezed out because he couldn't deliver. Does Fernandez face the same accounting?
It is very possible that you could get a move again back to the center right. For many years, basically, the Peronists had such a lock on power that there was an alternation between different wings within Peronism. And so for Macri, with Podemos to come to power in 2015, was real kind of a revolution of sorts. But as you pointed out, the structural difficulties were so strong and the cost of adjustments were so difficult that at the end, the Argentines decided to give what they thought was a bland version of Peronism with Alberto, even though you had Cristina Fernandez behind him, another shot. And so Argentina is famous for its vacillation between left and right, one solution, another, good times, bad times. And so it's entirely possible that we will see some sort of punishment for the Peronists at the ballot box. How that's going to work out is not clear, but certainly also the dissatisfaction that showed up in the midterms is probably only an indicator of what is to come in that national election.
It seems gloomy, Professor, but at least from the European reporting point of view, it would appear that Argentina is doomed, that it will go through this again and again and again until there's correction. It is a vastly beautiful country, I'm told. My son has traveled there. He said it's blindingly gorgeous, and the food is terrific, and the people are generous. So does this phenomenon of deadbeatism, is this existing only in Buenos Aires? The ruling class have gotten used to being bailed out, and the rest of the country goes on with its business independent of Buenos Aires?
Well, you're right, John. Argentines often joke about this, that every couple of years, Argentina experiences a disaster, a political and economic crisis, a fiscal crisis. And, that's been going on for quite some time. You're also right. Argentina is an incredibly rich country, not only beautiful, you actually have a relatively sophisticated industrial and biotech in other sectors. So Argentina is not by any means an underdeveloped third world country. Argentina also has a vast array of riches. The pampas in terms of Argentine beef and soy and other goods, as well as the vast reserves that Argentina has of lithium in the north, as well as oil and various other commodities. And so the potential is always there. And again, after Argentina's difficulties, it has repeatedly bounced back. And so, while we talk about Argentina being doomed by the downside, every downside has almost invariably been followed by the resilient Argentine people with their resources and national potential actually making a comeback. And so Argentina, if it's headed for difficult days, the other part of the coin is that Argentina eventually is probably headed for better days once again.
Professor Evan Ellis, Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report. We're headed to the Amazon in Peru and trouble. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.